I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, I'm willing to bet you're willing to sweat. My illness get you bruised. I kill it, I step through crews and abuse twos and threes. Who's the G's that hoes know? Me and Hyro, I know. I'm fly, bro. So why flow if you're not invigorating? I know where you live, they're at your crib. I got niggas waiting. I figure raping is a crime, C. I take my time, B. And now your G is mine, G. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your host Rod and...
Karen, who you mad at?
Nobody.
Oh,
why
so
would I have to be angry?
That was very aggressive. I was like, dang.
That's the way they rapped it when they said
okay.
It. I'm just trying to do what they was doing.
Okay, cool.
Well, you're listening to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Facebook, and Podomatic. Just search for the Black Guy Who Tips. Today is our listener response show.
Yep, yep.
So all the people who gave us feedback, we're giving you feedback on your feedback. And hopefully when we play this audio and record at the same time, you won't hear any feedback.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So basically you can go to theblackguywhotips.com. There you can sign up for our forums. You can even use your Twitter account to do so. You can respond to the shows there. I see my man Chloe from Chonilla.
Yeah.
Is responding to all the episodes he catches up, and that's cool.
Yes, we don't mind you responding to no episodes, guys.
Yeah, thank you everybody that is taking the time out to do that.
Yes.
Of course, I also want to say you can donate to the show. We have donate buttons there. We have recurring donations and one-time donations, and you can sign up for either one. We appreciate the people who do, and I'd like to give a shout-out to a couple people who donated. My man Trojan Scooter, he put some in on. He says, keep up the good work. Thank you, Trojan Scooter.
Thank you.
That was big of you, man. And the cheese eater extraordinaire, Kenny Limpo Jr., on Twitter is Kenny Limpo Jr. He contributed to the recurring donations too, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that we're talking about, man. That really makes the show worth doing. So I really appreciate it, guys.
We do.
All right, man. So let's go ahead and get into promoting the show. You know what I'm saying? Can't do podcasting yet. I got stuff to say.
Cool.
Now, don't forget also, you can email the show, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Rodimus Prime.
I'm Say That Again, Dat, S-N-D-A-T.
And you can send us a voicemail, 704-557-0186. We play those today. We play Saturdays. Mm-hmm. We play voicemails and we respond to them. So it's a good way to get your voice heard for those of you that want to be on the show.
Yes.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. So, what do you want to do first? We got iTunes reviews, we got emails, we got voicemails, we got Facebook comments.
iTunes reviews, please, sir.
All right, going into the iTunes reviews. And we got a few this week, and I appreciate everybody that's sending iTunes reviews. These are ways of showing people that you like the show and why you like the show. And, of course, we only read the 5-star reviews on the show.
Yes, that's it.
So it doesn't matter what they say, I will read them. Even if it's dissing me, even if it's dissing Karen, if it's dissing the show, if it's making me support Steve Harvey, whatever it is, the shit gets read.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so MEBE 225 says, Rod and Karen, I've been a fan since Mel Gibson's wife leaked his mixtapes. Well, that was actually like his baby mama, but you know, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the Mailback Music volume like 1-5.
Yes.
Mel Gibson's wife, yeah. So that was right around the same time that the show hit a new plateau of excellence. I'd really like to write the show more often, but I can't, and it's your fault. Uh-oh. Every time I get ready to write in about a funny topic or a discussion point, you say something else that makes me laugh so hard that I forget what I wanted to say. Well, that's not a bad problem.
No.
Plus, I don't have time to recap 2 hours worth of funny. If you want more reviews, you may want to consider making the show boring like most other podcasts out there. Anyway, I love the show and I'll continue to spread the word, peace. Yeah, well, thank you. MB225. Yeah, definitely, because that's how I feel, too. It's like, if I wanted to make a half-hour show with 20 music breaks and shit, I'd do that. But I don't. This is my show. I make it the way I want it. And I think you can tell. And I think other people have other formats that work for them because they make the show that they want to make, and yes. That's why it works for them.
Yes.
Anyway, Jose Bermudez, 5 stars, says informative and funny as hell. Ooh, iTunes lets you say hell. I didn't know that.
I don't know, but it don't let you say cunt.
Or vagina. It does not let you say vagina. Anyway.
Does it let you say dick?
I don't know, but if you say vagina, I've had episodes get held up from publishing because I have vagina in the description.
You had to put stars across it or something?
It'll put stars on there automatically, but it'll take a while before they even put your episode up.
Wow.
So iTunes does not like vagina. I started listening to your podcast after hearing you on The Morning Jones. Oh, so he's talking about me because Karen don't call The Morning Jones.
I only caught one time.
I listened to the latest, and I found that I had to download them all to catch up.
Woohoo! You had a lot, son.
Yeah. Your podcast is always great for laughs, and your point of view on a variety of issues is a welcome change from the same crap that everyone sees every day. As a comic, movie, and video game geek, all your reviews are greatly appreciated. You know, I always worry about that because I know that I give a lot of reviews and shit, but I try to tell people I'm not trying to influence you. I'm not trying to make you go see this or don't go see it unless I really feel strongly about something.
Yep.
So I always worry about that because, like, I'm enjoying this Rockstar game, L.A. Noir, but I could easily see why somebody would not like the game, too.
That's true.
You know, I can only speak for myself. It says, the only complaint that I have about the podcast is you need more Mexicans on it. I agree, Jose.
Yes,
we do need some Mexicans. I'm going to start searching out for some Mexicans now and get some more diversity in this audience.
Yes, sir.
Keep up the great work on the podcast. I'll try and call in with some feedback later on.
Thank you,
Jose. Cubicle listener, hilarious, 5 stars. Seriously, this is one of the very few podcasts that can make me laugh out loud. Do yourself a favor and download. Thank you. You know who I want to thank? I want to thank that person who wrote in last week and was kind of dissing on the show before they gave us some props. Because I think that's what made a lot of these people want to write in to kind of defend the show and say, hey, man, the fuck you mean make the show shorter and don't talk about fun, don't try to be funny. You know, I think maybe that those people called in and was like, fuck you, I like this show and this is what I like about it.
Thank you, God.
So this one is called I Like with 4 exclamation points.
Woo-hoo!
5 stars by William Robinson. And he says, Lord, I ain't your best son. I ain't been to church in a while, but on that liquor I confess, son. I missed a couple blessings. Wasn't ready, was counting money, but I swear I'll catch the next one. I did some dirt to be the fresh one. Lost some friends over ends, but I guess this is what I get, huh? Chance of dreaming I can barely see. Shooting the stars when that was something I could never be. And then he says, Crit is the best.
Yes, sir.
But anyway, love the podcast. I'm a young married man, still in love with my wife. Like we friends with benefits.
And rings.
Love Rod and Karen. Where's my 40 acres? Hey, Rossi and Span Report. Help my mail carrying days flow smooth like a stool softener. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
We'll be glad we made your day go smoother.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is from David Robertson. He said, had to do it. 5 stars. Had to give y'all 5 stars. I would write y'all a long review, but I sent an email. But since I have you here, who you think had the worst week? Derrick Rose or Reggie Bush, who was simping after Kim's engagement? Shout out to the chat room. Oh, my bad. Wrong podcast. let's hear that Karen laugh.
We don't have a chat room yet, but when we get one, they're probably gonna be vicious too.
I hope we don't have too much of a ratchet chat room. Woo, Gary, you did make this drink strong.
I told you. That's why I got you an extra Coke.
I think this is all Bacardi and a dash of Coke. Chest burn.
I'm sorry. I wanted to finish out the bottle.
Dang, now I know how Michael Felder feels. It's alcoholic ass. Anyway, thank you for the review.
Well, that's life for him, son. What you talking about?
Thank you for the review. I appreciate it.
We do.
And let me go ahead and get into the next topic. So we got emails. We got the polls. We got...
Let's do the polls and the Facebook comments.
Okay. So let's go to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta go back a couple episodes. Me, myself, and Karen.
Mm-hmm.
This was the episode where I got to talk about how great that I am.
Yes.
Because I only care about myself when I talk about my podcast.
That's right.
And it's only me.
And I only care about me.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's wrong with these people.
Me either.
So we had a poll, and the poll question was, isn't Rod the best? And option one was, yes, he's the best, and his voice isn't annoying. Option two was, hell yes, best podcast ever. I love the podcast, Lynn. And option three was, yep, he's funny every time, too. So I appreciate the diverse opinions. Now, I did not get any votes for my voice not being annoying, but I assume that's because people felt even more strongly that we have the best podcast ever and they love to live, which is 58% of the vote. And he's funny every time too, which was 42% of the vote. So I'm assuming everybody did agree on those two. We got some comments too. Mr. Space Mountain says, I love the length of the podcast. Great after a long day's work or just lounging around the house relaxing. Most podcasts that are 30 to 40 minutes seem rushed and leave something to be desired. Your show makes me laugh my fucking ass off for 2 hours. It lasts for the 2 hours that it lasts. Keep up the good work and keep bringing them long ass podcasts, my brother. Tommy says, hell yeah, Rod is the best. He is an intelligent man that always picks great topics to explore. Rod has great jokes and perfect punchlines. The best part is when Rod laughs. My man has the juiciest laughs. What?
Aren't you in a piece of chicken for you laugh?
This is the juiciest laugh.
Need some hot sauce on this laugh.
I gotta stop drinking so much during the show.
I know, right? You might not make it. That strong drink I made. I'm sorry, y'all.
I salivate every time I hear them. Like seeing the hot sign at Krispy Kreme. I bet his mouth is so wide open that you can see past his tonsils as he laughs. And I love it. Keep up the great work, Rod, and keep them laughs coming with the wink face. So I don't know what Tommy's into,
Thank you.
No problem, buddy. Just stay on your side of the glass. The other poll we had, we talked about when we went to the auto mechanic's place, and
yes,
they were working on our car and how they tried to do some shady shit like they always do. So the question was, are mechanics trustworthy?
Mm-hmm.
And the vote, I'm very proud of our listeners, but I'm also a little surprised.
Me too.
Only 6% thought that yes, they are honest and I respect them.
Who's changing their oil? They daddy? I'm sorry, because if you got anybody in business, a lot of them dudes trying to rip you off.
Maybe they changed their own.
They must
shit.
Do. That's why they trust the mechanic, didn't you?
Then no, I don't. No, I don't know what they're doing back there. 17 people, aka 94%, said no. Mm-mm, don't trust
them. No, I said that again.
So let's see what the comments. Canuck Duke said, I voted no, as every time I had to take my car to the mechanic, I always had to stay in the shop during a long weekend. They're a bunch of miserable dudes.
They had your car turned up for hours.
Adjective J says, I found a mechanic here who's Hispanic, and I swear he's either an illegal alien or strung out on that crack, because he does jobs. He does jobs for like more than half what other mechanics in town asked for. I had an exhaust manifold on my car. I had to replace an exhaust manifold on my car. I found the part, took it to the mechanics around town, and they were all trying to charge me $500 or more. In fact, one dude was like, I'll start at $400, but it might go higher. All they had to do was put the part on. I went to this hole-in-the-wall Hispanic shop and asked him, and he looked at the car, looked at the part, and was like $125. He hasn't charged me more than $200 on anything I've had him do since. The only catch is he doesn't speak any English, so I have to break out my Spanish whenever I roll by his shop, and despite all this, I only kind of trust this dude. Yeah, we actually have a mechanic place that we trust here in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that day we couldn't take it to them because we just wanted to get the tires worked on.
Yes, and they the only place. And I think the thing, I was talking to Ryan Jake's mom about this place. The thing I do like about this place, is that we've never had any issues with them. Like, if we take it in that they always work with old parts and never try to do new parts. We've even went to them, like, we went to this place. They look at us like, they were like, ooh, that shit is high. I'm like, yes, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, even when they put on new parts and stuff, they just aren't trying to game you.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, bringing your car in for something you know is wrong, that's one thing. But then it's when people try to hustle you and you know you're being hustled and you have to hit them with the, come on, man. Mm-hmm. How you gonna just disrespect me to my face like this?
Yes, and I think one time we took our car there for a thing, it was like three parts. He was like, look, I fixed the cheapest part, that don't work, bring it back. I fixed the more expensive part.
Right.
Like, he was willing to work with us. I said, oh, we just changed everything up for $1,000.
All right, man, so Thomas writes in, I had to give a nod to myself because I am a mechanic. So that's the one vote that they got.
Oh, and that makes sense.
But straight up, y'all are fools that come to me anyways. Either you're a fucking idiot that doesn't know the difference between a carburetor and an air filter, or you're some lazy sucker that doesn't have time to do the work your damn self. All y'all can suck it. You have no business complaining when y'all come to us in the first place. Of course we can find some other stuff wrong. We want to get paid for dealing with y'all chumps. Plus, we mark up more than graffiti artists, but y'all don't ask. Just chill. Let me do my work, then pay me and stop acting like chumps. So there you go. There's the perspective from the point of view of an untrustworthy asshole. So now yes. We got everybody covered in this poll, including Thomas.
Yes, we do. I'm so sorry I didn't go to school for cars.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, and that's the thing, man. From here on out, man, except for that one dude that I trust, fuck all mechanics, honestly. Fuck y'all. Y'all are not welcome. Not cool. How you gonna call me a chump? I'm giving you money. I'm trying to help you out. Why can't you just, it just seems like a better business model would be, it would be like if you were the honest mechanic, you get more business because more people would be like, fuck, I can trust this dude.
Yes.
I'm going to make sure to bring my car to him as much as possible.
Yes, that's why we go to that place, and that place stays chumping. And he's been in business for years.
Yeah, it's always the people with the untrustworthy techniques that people stop going to because it's like, I went to get my windshield wipers replaced, and I walked out and I needed a fucking new engine. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
All right, so the other poll we had when we talked to Roy Wood Jr., who was a comedian, and we were talking about the internet, and he was saying how, in his opinion, it's bad for comedians. He's thinking about getting off of the internet completely.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it has worked for some comedians, he thinks it stifles creativity, and people get overexposed too early, and joke thievery is just abundant on the internet.
I believe that.
And so I said, you know, is the internet bad for comedians? And 10% of people said yes, and 90% of people said no, it's a good way to get an audience and get exposure. Now, in all fairness, these are probably fans and not actual comedians.
Yes, which makes the difference, because like I said, when I was talking about it, that was my perspective, but I completely understand his perspective, because when it comes to that, you kind of have to work jokes and tell them certain ways and revamp them and revise them. And a lot of times once this hits the internet, people know it and they don't give you a chance to actually get it where it is a decent punchline.
Yeah, it's just funny because there's a lot of, I can understand from both perspectives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some comedians who seem to be using it as a tool to blow up only, and he's right. They haven't perfected their stand-up. They haven't perfected a lot of the things that go into actually putting in the grind.
And being a good comedian.
Right. So I could definitely understand it. I actually talked to Hayter Rossi on Twitter last night a little bit about it. And he was saying as a comedian, he could kind of see both sides of it too. So, you know, it's pretty, you know, I enjoyed the conversation. Let's see what the comments say. Mr. Bill said, I haven't listened to the show yet, but there are so many examples of comedians using the net for their game. Joe Rogan can sell out a theater because of his internet podcast. Dane Cook got huge because of his MySpace hustle. The internet can be bad for comedians who don't do it right. If they give away their best bits on Twitter or Facebook, then why see the show? Yeah, I can understand that. The other thing, though, is that some people will argue, like, a guy like Dane Cook getting big off of the internet is bad for comedy. Because
he's a my opinion, he's a terrible comedian.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the thing is that I agree with Roy Wood for the fact that it's an art, it's a craft to it, and like he said, you don't have stage presence. You can't get up there and just read the script and expect everybody to go, ha 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 ha, you funny. It's a difference between you making a video and posting it on Facebook and I can physically see you. It is not the same.
Manuel, aka Manuel, says, of course the internet is good for comedians. How the hell else would I know who they are if not from MySpace? I'm on MySpace every day and I find a new comedian each time I get on. And the comedians on MySpace are good. They come hard. If not for MySpace, I wouldn't know who Roy Wood Jr. is. If not for MySpace, I wouldn't know anybody actually. But anyways, like I was saying, the internet is good for comedians, especially if they're on MySpace. Are you guys on MySpace? My last name is Jackson. So hit up my MySpace sometimes. We can share jokes.
I'm sorry to inform you, I do got a MySpace account, but I ain't checked that bitch in about a year.
Right. Well, hopefully, if we continue this podcast in 6 or 7 years, this guy will be on Facebook.
I hope so.
Taco Salad says, if the comedian uses the tool correctly, the exposure would benefit them. But there are many drawbacks if it isn't done correctly. The comedian has to have a steady rotation of jokes in order for his routine to stay organic. I would hope, as Rod mentioned in the podcast, that comedians have previews that give internet viewers not a full description of what they would see live. Giving the user incentive on coming out and supporting their shows, regularly produce fresh material for the comedian can only benefit the comedian. Great podcast. I wish I could have found this sooner. Thank you, Taco Salad.
Thank you.
Let me add one more thing to Roy Wood's, not really defense, but to his side. A lot of times on YouTube, the comedian doesn't have control of what gets shown.
Nope.
Because people will take their cell phones and just record the show.
That's right.
Which I don't think is fair. That is kind of fucked up. Nope. Because now when I show up, I'm not as entertained because none of these jokes are new to me.
That's right.
So I do understand how he could feel like it's overexposing people and ruining fans of his comedy because they're coming in and it's like, well, I just saw this 20-minute set you did on YouTube. And it's like, yeah, but I didn't want you to see that. So, you know, now you just saw my show I did yesterday. I ain't made up no new material between yesterday and today. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Well, I'm supposed to have a new set of jokes for Toledo instead of, Detroit. Like, it's,
and people are paying for these tickets. And the thing is, to an extent, I completely understand that perspective for the fact that, like you said, you're showing people stuff that was not really meant for them to see.
Yeah, so that was the polls, and thank you everybody that voted, and everybody, especially the people who left comments on the polls. Yes. That's cool to see people actually give their opinions on the topic.
Yes.
All right, so let's go ahead and do the Facebook comments.
Yes, sir.
All right, we had 3 episodes, but we talked about a lot of shit on Facebook. We talked about, of course, the episode with Patrice, if not Beyonce, then who? A lot of people liked that episode.
Yes, they did.
Me, myself, and Cam, we got some likes on that one, too.
Cool.
Thank you for everybody that did that. And most of the participation we got in comments was through, like, random thoughts I posted on there. Or, there were a couple topics that people wanted to talk about, like the N-word. I put something on there about the N-word, and everybody had comments to drop on that, and I appreciated that. But we didn't get a lot of comments on the actual episode. Corbin posted something that says, I watched a minute plus of Beyonce's new video. God, she is overrated. As you pointed out on the Negro Majority, this war between the sexes amongst black people is tired and needs to end. Girls outnumber men and still run nothing but their mouths. Smiley face. Well, that is inflammatory, Corbin.
Yes, that is.
I don't know why you would. A lot of my good friends are women and girls and shit like that, so I would not co-sign that at all, my brother.
And on top of that, you never talk about women like that.
I don't understand these dudes that talk bad about women and vice versa.
Yeah, my thing is this. You talk bad about a woman, talk too much, but you want to fuck. Come on now.
Right.
Be considerate.
Like, I really feel like the extent to which some of this gender war shit goes
is stupid.
You could actually extend it all the way to being gay. It's like, women are terrible. I fucking hate them, man. Wouldn't the world be better without them? If we could just fuck each other, everything would be cool. We have bro time, watch fantasy football, and then fuck. And you're like, Well, why don't you go do that? I'm actually kind of happy getting pussy. I don't know about you, yes, but kind of enjoy this.
Not only that, and on top of that, men talk too. People, I don't know why dudes act like they are not talkative ass men. They are.
Well, it's just a gender war thing that's stupid. It's just fucking stupid. Anyone that believes in that and participates in that is fucking stupid. You spend time going, I hate women. Women spend time going, I hate men. It's fucking dumb. Like, we all on the planet together. Try to get along, man.
Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but I like having sex with the opposite sex. And so last thing I'm going to do is run their asses off. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I don't get the whole gender war thing. And too, I feel like someone like Beyonce is kind of making a living off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because there's no voice out there that can go back at her, you know?
Yes, and on top of that, I think a lot of times...
On top of what?
On top of what you were saying.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, not the end, not on top of me. We ain't talking about that right there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, for those of you out there that's, you know, having sex or like to have sex, my thing is that a lot of times when you say that stuff, a lot of times it's to get attention of the opposite sex, but it's the wrong type of attention.
All right, so we got some emails, too. Let's check these out. Corey says, I checked out some vids of that Yoli chick. The songs were okay, but she kind of hot in a Jewish way. A little racism for Karen. And I gotta ask, what the fuck is up with people in these fucking stores? That's what we're trying to say, Corey. I don't know what is up with them. But remember, you are the son of a chicken pisser. So, let's just calm down judging people, okay? David Robertson says, first off, thank y'all for taking the time out to do this show. It helps people in ways you may not have envisioned it to do. My friend passed 2 weeks ago, and I listened to your show to help me laugh when I was really down.
Thank you.
I just listened to the show with Roy Wood Jr. That nigga is funny.
He would appreciate you saying nigga. He's probably smiling right now.
The show made me think of two stories. The first one happened this weekend. I was with an ex-coworker at her dad's company at the local amusement park, and there is an old 50-style restaurant, a 50-style restaurant, and my date was inside escaping the heat. Now we're black, but my ex-coworker and all her people are white. So they walk up and ask, hey, why aren't you inside? And I tell them, since it's a 50-style restaurant, they won't serve me or allow me to enter the door. I have to go to the back. We all enjoyed a nice, hearty, post-racial laugh. That is awesome.
Yes.
That is awesome. Last story, I picked this girl up after she got off work to fool around. As we are getting into it, I realize she is not at her freshest. So I call an audible. I shake as if I came and then proceed to fake a muscle cramp after stealing on the floor for a minute. I quickly got dressed and drove her home. Not that. Now that's taking one for the team.
Yes, sir. They talk about women fake orgasms.
Yeah. Sometimes a man got a fake one. It's not.
They say they do.
It's not a proud moment, but you had to do what you got to do, fellas, to survive. Survive and continue. It's like the NCAA tournament. P.S. Y'all inspired me to start my own blog, and I'm looking forward to getting into podcasting just because of this show.
Thank you.
That's cool, man. And my condolences on your friend passing, man.
Yes.
Walter writes in, how's it going, guys? You two are great. You two are a great show as always. You guys are blowing up in just a few years of doing the podcasting thing. Years? It's only been like a year and a half.
We almost
most.
2 years. We almost 2 years. He pushing us along.
Yeah, baby.
I ain't mad at you.
We sound seasoned.
Not only that, you probably the amount of episodes we got, people think we've been around forever.
How are you guys handling the increased popularity? Any nutcases, stalkers, or potential threats that made you reconsider in buying a sword? LOL. How are you handling the increased popularity, Karen?
I'm handling it fine. Like I said, most people I interact with on Twitter and things like that, so I don't really interact with them, like, personally. And some people I interact with through Xbox and Netflix parties and things like that. I just had to get used to people recognizing my voice and who I am. And I had to get used to, I think like Roger has told the story before, we out and people have seen him and they just knew me. And I'm like, who the hell are you and how do you know who I am? I started asking questions.
Well, we had a couple cray-crays, but nothing major.
No.
Nothing that the block button on Twitter or Facebook or something can handle.
Fix.
So, you know, we're good right now. We're not that popular and we're trying to keep the show growing and I'm sure we have a lot more to do. And things are coming in the future, man. Let's see who else we got here. David wrote back and said, the term with prejudice means that charges can't be refiled. But that's weird though, because I believe Shirley Wong said the term with prejudice means the charges can be refiled, but you don't even need the witness to refile the charges, something like that. So
yeah, I think one way means, I think if you don't have it, they can refile. It was something like that, but I'm just glad it ain't what I was thinking, because I was thinking racist, and I kept saying, well, damn, if you're racist, your ass is going to...
You are dismissed with prejudice, you black-ass nigga. Now get the fuck out of my courtroom, you jiggaboo monkey.
I know, that's what I was thinking, so apparently I was wrong.
Yeah, that's how everything is in your mind. Racist. Hey, Rod and Karen, this is from Ruby. If you are still compiling your list of top five black people on Real World, I would like to nominate Muhammad from season 3. If you can't remember Muhammad, it's because that's what he wanted. He stayed in his room and used MTV for the free rent. Muhammad was living the American dream. He was living the American dream of living somewhere rent free without embarrassing his family. I remember that, and I was impressed with that dude. In the Bleacher says, I'm drunk. Well, welcome to the party, nigga. I'm drunk on my own podcast. I'm drunk at work.
Oh.
This is my shortest email.
Ever. Yes, it is.
Fuck the police. In the words of the Beatnuts, fuck the P.O. lice. They cause more strife. I'm fucking dying, man. Peace. All right. So, Mike writes in.
Breaking records. That's the shortest one ever.
Mike writes in with a nice haiku. Toya writes in. And you may know Toya as Batman, who left that great voicemail. And somehow we lost her voicemail last week. And I was really disappointed about that, man. Because I wanted to hear what she had to say.
Yes.
I fucking hate how Skype did that. Or Pamela. I don't know. One of these programs. Fucking internet. But yeah, we lost her voicemail, so I'm sorry about that, Toya. I really did try to find it, and she kind of...
Where it went to.
She kind of gave us shit all week about us losing it, so... Sorry, baby. Toya says, hello. What a lovely morning to wake up and know I almost got raptured listening to episode 167. The title was, if not Beyonce, then who? Would you like to hear the story? Well, here it goes. Well, here it goes. So I'm in the kitchen seasoning my meats for my grill to cook on Sunday. The menu, lamb chops, baby back ribs, pork ribs, and of course, chicken.
Yes, sir. I don't blame you.
Of course, chicken wings. Of course. Duh. Black hair. Duh. That's what she says. Batman be on that. Anyways, my crazy... Adrian comes in from the back and heard y'all talking about Beyonce, a.k.a. Ho-Yonce, as I affectionately call her. And she says, LOL Karen, I know you laughed at that.
Yes, I did.
And the new video. She is such a Beyonce fan that is ridiculous. She was like super mad about how y'all were talking about the video and the walking hyenas, however you spell that shit. She's giving me the meaning of what that meant, and I'm like, I don't give a damn, but you know you can't argue with crazy. That
no,
is true.
No, you can't.
That is true. So then she left the room, and the next thing she heard was you talking about them being hoes and shaking their ass on the floor.
Oh!
She flew into a rage. It was like, Beyonce music don't have nobody acting like hoes. She empower women. What they damn number, so I could call them and tell them how fucking ignorant they sound for talking about my Beyonce like that.
Oh, damn, she loves Beyonce, ain't she?
I was like, that's not what they meant. So I had to rewind the show and let her listen to what y'all said, and it calmed her down for about 30 minutes, and then she back in on it again. I was afraid I was gonna be ratchet in my sleep last night.
Oh, we're gonna lose Batman.
And then she was gonna come get y'all as well. I had to save Karen, and of course you, Rod, because it's 10-star Karen, 3-star Rod. You know I love the ladies. You know what I'm talking about. Laugh my ass off. So anyway, I had to tell you how I almost got ratchet. And also, like I said, before Batman watches them hoes slid up and down on the pole. Oh, slide up and down on the pole. He don't slide down himself. Because you were rushing me, this email doesn't go into details about how you, the blacks, behaved over the last few podcasts. We'll do that next time. I'm out snitchness. I mean, people, Toya.
We look forward to it, Toya.
Thank you, Toya. Yes. We appreciate that. Thank you for writing the show.
Yes, we started the podcast. I almost got you hurt.
Yeah, what do you mean for Cray Cray to get on you?
No, we do not.
Let's see if we can do these emails before I pass out from the strong ass drink.
Emails?
Voicemails, damn it! I'm sorry.
Do I need to water that down with this Coke?
So, Adjective Jay sent in two messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's supposed to keep them to 3 minutes. One was like 2:48, and one was 3:42. So, I don't know. I'm going to play them both anyway because I love you, Adjective Jay.
Oops.
As Karen spills soda all over the motherfucking table.
I'm sorry,
y'all. Go get a towel.
I'll
go get a towel. Let's do some stand up in between. You know, like my nigga Roy Wood Jr. was saying how you know, internet is ruining comedy. Let me do some internet comedy while my soda is spilled. Hey man, how come Pokemon can only say their own names? What kind of shit is that? Like, is that slavery names? Like, what if one of the Pokemon's name was like Die Nigga? Like, because that's what I would like to see a Pokemon name. Die, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, die, nigga. Why don't you go over there and do such and such? Die, nigga. Die, nigga. Oh, I got it all, Karen. That's good. And somebody said they were slave names. And I agree, man. Like, that would be like if back in slavery and roots, if Toby was like, Toby. You know what I mean? Like, Toby, go over there and pick that cotton. Toby. You think Pikachu real name was Kenta Kunte and they beat it out of him till he submitted?
You will get into this ball.
Okay, now let's play the voicemail. Yes. I'm drunk.
Yo, Rod, Karen, what's up? It's Adjective Jay.
What it is, nigga?
First of all, as you can hear, I'm still here. So I didn't get pulled in the rapture. I know it's not a shock for some people, but it was a little surprising for me, maybe a little disconcerting. I really thought that, I thought this was it. I thought that I was finally gonna get to go to heaven and do whatever heaven people do. Anyway, there's one thing I guess I kinda wanted to share with you guys, like, cause I guess it's like a little dilemma in my own life, and I thought about it, and I was like, hey, I'll just throw this out here and see what you guys think. So, you know, obviously there was this whole big thing that happened here in Alabama where there was tornadoes that came through, a lot of people went without power, and, you know, it was pretty much a mess. So FEMA's offering this deal where essentially you get, I think, like, I want to say either $150 to $200, maybe even $300 worth on an EBT card. I'm saying, like, I don't know because it's secondhand knowledge that's coming to me from my sister. And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to get one. And, you know, I'll see if I can get you one, too. And she just got my social security number from me. Or either that, she was, you know, ripping me off the table because I'm a bank account leaving. But either way, she apparently was going to get one. And I was like, cool, that's, like, free food. But then I started thinking about it. Like, I shop at relatively high-end places because, you know, I'm a vegan now. And so I have to go find, like, you know, really good-tasting vegan food. And most places that I go to are, like, organic. Like, you know, your Earth Fairs, your Whole Foods. And that's the place I shop at. And I realized I don't feel comfortable pulling out like an EBT card at like a place around all these white people who obviously have money. And it's like, I just realized I'm gonna have to swallow my pride to get like a certain amount of food for free. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. Like, I'm willing to do it. Like, if it is, like, I say, like, $300 worth of food for free, then whatever, you know, you can judge me as I roll all the way to the car. But it's like $100. Like, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. And I realized that my limit apparently for me, you know, swallowing my pride at least, is right at about 150. I just found, like, my price when it comes to that. And that's scary, because that's really low. But anyway, I just thought I'd share with you guys. What do you guys think about that? Like, would you be comfortable? Like, doing that? And just so you know, Walmart is out of the question because the vegan food at Walmart, I don't know if you've ever had, like, Morningstar, Morning Glory, whatever the stuff is called, but it's terrible. I mean, it tastes really, really bad. I'm talking about, like, I buy actually really good high-end stuff. But anyway, I just want to see what you guys thought about that. As per usual, great show with Jonah the Jew, who, by the way, is an amazingly sexy independent girl. Like, independent film girl. So you're completely right on that, Rod. Actually, as you were saying that, I was like, man, I need to write a screenplay about this chick. But, once again, really love the show. And, you guys keep good work. Peace.
Peace. Karen, what you think about that?
My opinion is that when it comes to saving money, I guess I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I wish I qualified for that shit. I don't qualify for it. Anything free, it's down for. I will whip that card out proud. Give me my shit for free. And on top of that, the other thing is that white folks do discounts and sales free too. I don't know if y'all experience is getting warm. White people will knock you out for something on sale at the attic sale table for $2 for $1. So don't act like they don't do bargain shopping too. They do thrift stores and all that stuff. White, and it's not white people. Rich people stay rich because they don't blow their money.
I was at this white grocery store, and this lady was trying to use coupons. And she got an attitude when they asked her to get in line. She said, hold up. Try to do my coupons, bitch. And I was like, damn, she was mean. She was angry about using them coupons, but she used them. So you shouldn't have no shame around these white people for using coupons.
No.
They invented the coupon, dog.
Yes, they did.
What do you think America is? It's the original discount land. They just sit these motherfuckers here. They're like, oh, land on sale. Let's just kill these Indians. And next thing you know, we got this great, wonderful country. Prime. Next enforcement.
Yo, Rod, Karen, how are y'all doing? This is Adjutant Jay. I called myself the intelligent and called earlier in the week. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna call it in, then I don't have to, like, you know, call again. But I can call it in. So, yeah. Anyway, I was calling, I guess, because of the poll with Roy Wood Jr. How, you know, you were talking about the. Trying to type this out, and I couldn't get it to make any sense, like, on paper. And so, obviously, I thought, well, if I say it out loud, it's going to make all kinds of sense. I'll start off by saying that, like, I am not a stand-up comedian. I am not a stand-up comic. Have I done stand-up? I did it once or twice, maybe a little bit more than that. I've done it a few times, but it's not the way I get paid. It's not, I'm by no means professional. I just have kind of been exposed to that world. I do have a friend who is a professional comedian in Atlanta. Actually, he's a white dude that's a professional comedian in Atlanta, which is kind of major. But one thing that he had told me, and I think he's been a comedian now for, I want to say like 5 or 6 years. One thing he had told me is that he actually does, you know, work his jokes. He actually does, work his joke and work his set. And, like, you know, the way that you build your set, the way that you craft it, and that's something that, like, I've seen echoed, or I guess I've heard echoed by the comedians, is that you build a set, you know, piece by piece, and, you know, your strongest stuff, obviously, you lead off with that, but, you know, you have jokes, and you want to try to, you know, change word and change how they affect the show, and change where you put them in your set. And so sometimes you have, like, as a comedian, if you're just now kind of, like, birthing a joke, if you will, if you're just now making something of this joke, and you're just kind of, like, still trying to work it out, when someone YouTubes your set, it's kind of, like, taking part of your set and taking part of your art form and kind of belittling it a little bit. It's almost like if an artist is working on a painting, yes, you can see that painting, but it may not be done yet. And for a lot of comedians, they're really protective, especially of the newer jokes, because they're still trying to work them out. And I think, like, what it does is that when by the time the joke becomes, you know, something that's truly funny, by the time the bit becomes truly funny, they actually find themselves, you know, seeing the newborn out on the internet, and it kind of pulls from other audiences having seen that and seeing that bit, like, well, that's not funny. And then when they hear, of course, the completely crappy joke, they're still like, well, that's not funny. And it changed a little bit, but I'm still not in. I guess that's why most comedians have an issue with it, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Of course, like I said, I'm not a comedian, and that's all speculation, but, like, I do feel that, you know, the internet is good for comedians. It does give them exposure, but I think, like, with comedians, too, they're also trying to craft a personality, and when they're really young, like, you're first starting off, you can pretty much try to figure out how you're going to present your jokes, how you're going to present yourself. You know, are you going to be, like, the arrogant dude? Are you going to be the intelligent guy who makes observations, blah, 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 and I think, like, if the internet blows you up too quick before you get your personality and your persona set, then it can do more damage than good. But anyway, that's just my thoughts on it. Actually, I voted I think I voted no. And essentially, I voted that way because I feel like, the internet is here and there's nothing you can do about it. You kind of have to have it. So, I mean, you know, use it within moderation. And you can't be like, well, we're not using it at all. And because it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that's pretty much it for me. Great show with Warren with Julian. His prank calls were killing me. But anyway, yeah, I'm out.
Peace. Karen, what you think about that shit?
And I agree with him, and also I agree with him that it needs to be done in moderation, for the simple fact that yes, comedians, it's an art. And like you said, once you worked all the kinks, all the bugs, once you kind of smoothed it out, and then you represent the same joke to a lot of people, it might be twice as funny, but because they've heard it before, and they've heard it not in its perfected form, it's not as funny because they've heard it before. And comedians invest a lot of time, they travel and things like that, and this is their form of lifestyle and living, and I think people kind of shit on that, which is not fair to the comedian as the artist. And now you live in the internet, which would be good and bad, and all of a sudden everybody think they're fucking funny. Nah, nigga, you're not funny. You just tell a bunch of one-liners, you can tell a few my mama jokes, and all of a sudden you think you are the man. And these people travel all over the world and spend years working on their craft, and so it's almost insulting to them to basically rip them off for their artwork and then say, well, nigga, you ain't funny. And they're like, what? I've been working on this 15-20 years. There is a difference. If I put a mic in your face and put you on stage, you would bomb.
Well, let me present the other alternative. Comedians do have one of the most disrespected crafts in the world. Motherfuckers be going on, like, bachelorette parties and then going to a comedy show. You know what I'm saying? Like, to complete disrespect. But, and maybe it's because I'm drunk, but what I'm saying is, the internet is just a tool, man. Mm-hmm. The internet is like a big, juicy, round, brown ass. And it's right in your face. You know what I mean? And some people are intimidated by that. They like, no, Serena Williams, I can't handle this. I'm backing out. It's too much. How am I going to cross this format? And then other people, such as myself and probably Toya, you just stick your face in right away. Right from the back, man. You know what I mean? Tongue on the clit and your nose in the vagina. You get a whiff of it and you just say, this is what it's about. And that's what living that life is about. Am I right in the bleachers? I think I am correct.
Yes, you and in the bleachers are both drunk.
So sometimes you got to just get in there, go face first, and you just accept the consequences, man. Because if it's just a tool, then you can use that tool to go ahead and promote yourself. It's not, don't be afraid of it, baby. It's nothing to be scared of, man. Some people are going to use it wrong. But that's like being scared of the TV. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure when television came around, some comedians were like, I would rather people hear about me from their friends and show up to the comedy club, not seeing any of my sets, just show up and get some comedy. But no, man, when Roy Wood Jr. went on Conan O'Brien on late night TV, there was nothing wrong with that. Like, he was just spreading his word the same way that I spread them cheeks. And I just stick my face in there. I just lick on it and kiss it like a French kiss. And, I love you, internet. And just get in. All right. Next voicemail. Prime.
Hi, Rod. Hi, Karen. This is AAW1976. Just wanted to say I hope you guys are enjoying your long weekend.
Oh, thank you.
I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yes, we are.
Maybe too much.
I've been enjoying mine. I took 2 naps yesterday.
All right. Next voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Kamal, a.k.a. Mr. Westside.
What's sorry?
You did this before the show.
kind of music is that?
I noticed I've been kind of rambling when I do these lessons, so I decided to write down some talking points. Just to share a little story with you. I was in high school. I played football in high school, and I'm from Baltimore, so needless to say, crazy shit happens. On my way to a game, I'm on North Avenue. Just ask, if you know anybody from Baltimore, just ask them how crazy shit happens on North Avenue. We're on a bus on North Avenue, not too far from our game. We just happen to look out my window, and I see a guy do a line of cocaine in his car, like, at a red light in broad daylight.
Wow.
Damn. Charlie Sheen was there?
Yeah. Weird shit happened like that. Also, Bomani Jones was talking about on the show, I totally forgot where this came from. But, I went to go see a friend in New York. He lives in Brooklyn. And I don't have a problem with being a bad neighborhood. I grew up in one, I'm around them all the time. But, you know, when I'm not in a city I'm familiar with, you at least get a heads up when somebody takes you to a fucked up neighborhood, you know. And he takes me to takes me to go shopping someplace here where he lives. And we go shopping, he's like, we take shortcuts. I'm like, okay, cool. And he takes me through the fucking projects, the Brookline Homes in East Brooklyn. It's like the fucking most fucked up part of East New York in the most fucked up part of Brooklyn, which is East New York. And, like, I'm looking around, like, wait a minute. How are we walking through the projects, son? He's like, it was a shortcut. I'm like, no, son. Don't take me through no fucking projects with a shortcut. I'm not from here. What is wrong with you? And my homeboy, he actually got obsessed at me for doing the very same exact thing. And we weren't even walking, we were driving. Also, again, I said my last voicemail, I'm going into the Air Force and I'll be leaving in 10 days, roughly 10 days, June 7th. And I would like to extend an invitation to my going away party. If you guys feel like driving up to Maryland next Sunday, you're more than welcome to come. I'm not giving out my address because who knows what ratchet motherfuckers listen to. So, no, you don't get my address. I'll send you a Facebook ad. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Peace.
Thank you, Mr. Westside. I always thought that nigga was from, like, Cali because he was named Mr. Westside. I think he was from the west side of Baltimore.
Yes. And I'm glad he made it through that, because he sounded kind of drunk. It sounded like he forgot to turn his party music off in the background.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounded like he was in the bar from Star Wars. The fuck was that music?
Yeah, with the band playing in the background.
Yeah, that shit was crazy. Anyway, yeah, man. Good luck with the Air Force and shit. Yes. Try not to be shot down.
Be safe.
My dad was in the Air Force, man.
Yes.
So try to major in some shit with computers.
Please do.
So you ain't got to go out there and shoot at niggas.
And I hope that if you are a heavy sleeper, they will make your ass a light sleeper. Because Roderick's daddy, if you breathe hard two doors down, he's like, what? Somebody in here. You're like, nigga, calm down. His dad sleeps like a feather.
But, you know, other than that, man, thank you. I'm too prime to remember what the fuck the rest of the email was about.
I'm sorry, y'all. I got here prime. I didn't realize I made drink that strong.
Strength's too strong. No amount of coke can solve this problem.
So, I'm trying to finish off the bottle. I'm sorry. I won't do that next time.
I like to thank Bacardi for this show. I'm going to edit this bitch after this. Thank you for calling the Black Guy Tips and emailing us and voicemailing us.
Yes.
The email is blackguytips@gmail.com. The voicemail is 704-557-0186. You can always find us on the blackguytips.com. Donate to the show, please.
Yes.
And, also make sure that you guys are out there, spreading the word about the show, joining our Facebook group.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Rod and Ms. Prime.
I'm say that again. That is in DAT.
And till next time, I love you.
You too, baby. Mwah.